again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3! Yeah! Northampton
have got it!
Hello, welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me. I know it's like the third episode in the space of the week. Aren't you lucky? I'm going to blame Keith Cup. with me today is somebody that we had on the podcast 2.5 years ago when Dean Austin was sacked. It was our second ever episode of this podcast, and I thought it would be fitting to get basically a rerun now that Keith has left. It's like the bookends are going to be complete. That is what this episode is all about. So joining me today, I am very happy to say, is the Chronicle and Echo Cobblers sports writer. That's probably not the exact title that he actually puts on his CV, but it's Henners. It's James Hennigan, everybody. How are you doing, James? You okay?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. I'm the manager sacking specialist, it seems.
That's it. I mean, I actually genuinely think to myself that we've done it to death already. Like, everybody listening in their own head, they've either done it where they've talked to family, friends, they've been on forums, Facebook, Twitter, whatever. It's been done to death. So let's do it some more. Why not?
Let's go for it.
let's. Well, look, let's start with, I suppose, the most obvious place in the world. But your opinion. Was it the right time for Keith and Colin, as it happens, to leave the club?
Yeah, I think it was. I think Kelvin and Kelvin Thomas, chairman, and the club in general have been criticised in the past for perhaps sacking managers a bit too late, leaving it a bit too long. And I think Kelvin himself has admitted that perhaps with a couple of managers, he did leave it too long. But I think in this instance, he's got it right. I think it just feels the natural time. I know some people were confused a little bit with the timing because at the end of the January transfer window, and obviously they backed Keith in the transfer market, but you know, that's not really a reason for keeping a manager. You know, if you feel you need to make a change, then you need to make a change. And I just felt that Wigan performance, I think we all felt it at the time. You know, it wasn't so much the result, it was more how they played. And you went into that game thinking, right, this is it, this is the start of their season now. This is, you know, they've got the players in they wanted in January. They're you know, got a few big games coming up, and you really felt they were going to kickstart their season. And then to produce a performance like that, you just thought that there was no really other option for Kelvin, unfortunately. And yeah, I do think it was, unfortunately, it was the right decision at the right time, I think.
I mean, I know everybody sort of says, oh, you know, the January transfer window's only just closed and everything. But I mean, Keith did his business, you know, quite in advance of that window slamming shut, as Sky Sports like us to say. you know, so it isn't like he's only had 2 weeks.
No.
Well, less than that, isn't it? But, you know, he's had a good, what, 3 weeks at least with those players, and we've probably played about 700 games in that time. So, or at least it feels like
it.
A couple of postponements here and there. But, you know, so it isn't like there's five players there that he's not had the chance to even try.
I agree. And I
suppose the other side of it is as well that, you know, that there's a recruitment policy, maybe. You know, so yes, they're signings that Keith wants, but they're done in conjunction with the other members of the sort of the recruitment team. So Simon Tracy, who is still at the club, as far as, you know, I'm aware, his name is still on the website. So he is still the sort of recruitment guy. Look, I'm not privy to it, and I doubt you are either, but the way that I see it happening is that basically there would be a meeting of minds, and it would probably be CEO James Whiting, Simon Tracy, even, and Keith Curl would all sort of sit there together to work out which players to go for. You know, probably both Simon and Keith brought their own names to the table, and then for want of a better phrase, bashed it out and worked out who it would be that they go for.
Yeah, I think that's the case. And I also think you got to remember, I think people forget sometimes, it's not, Keith said this many times as well, it's not a case of the window opens and then all of a sudden you identify your targets and you get them. They would have been working on those targets for a long time before the window opened. So I know I've seen people say perhaps he could have gone after the Lincoln game, the 2-4-0 defeats to Lincoln and Oxford in December, which it's a fair point. And maybe if he had not won that Gillingham game just after Christmas, then maybe he would have done. But even then, if you bring in a new manager just at the end of December, it's very difficult for them to go into January and suddenly, you know, pluck out some targets and bring in some players, because that gets worked on behind the scenes for months and months in advance. So I don't think that their January transfer business would have been much different had Keith gone earlier. Like you say, they would have had those targets in mind. Simon Tracy works on all that. He's obviously still at the club. So I think it's a bit of a red herring, to be honest. I think they've had a good window anyway. Whoever comes in, or John Brady as it is at the moment, I think they've got a good squad there, or a squad that's at least very capable of giving themselves a good shot of staying up. I don't think that can really be used as an excuse or as a stick to beat the club with. I think it's just the way it happened.
I do think, obviously, you've seen every single game. I know most fans this season have managed to see every game because of iFollow, but yep. You've been there. You've been able to actually hear what's going on that pitch, probably a lot clearer than we do, sat on our sofas watching on iPads and so on and so forth. I mean, was there a sign that maybe he lost the dressing room? Is a terrible phrase. I don't like that. But was there any sort of feeling that you got where the players just were no longer buying into what it was that Keith was asking them to do on the pitch?
Not really, to be honest. I've always been quite impressed by Keith's ability to keep his players on side while still being quite critical of them in public, because that's often a sign, isn't it? When a manager comes out in public and criticises a performance or really lays into his players, like Keith did after the Oxford City Cup game, after the Oxford United League game, and a couple of times last season even, and even in his first season. And yet he always seems to get a response out of his players. You think of that Gillingham game after the 2-4-0 defeats. Keith came out and he was, after the Oxford United game, he really went into his players. And yet, you know, they bounce back and put in a couple of really good performances against Gillingham and Sunderland. So I think Keith was well liked by the players. I think he had a very good relationship with his players. He's considered a good man manager. He looks after his players. I know he does criticise them, but I think sometimes a lot of that criticism was fair at the time when he said it. I didn't get the impression that, I mean, you are right, especially, obviously it's a shame. There are no crowds and no atmosphere at games. You know, it's a real, it's taken away a bit of the enjoyment of being at games and watching games. But the one sort of little positive to come out of it is that you can hear players on the pitch and you can hear Keith on the touchline. And it's really interesting to see and hear what they're saying. And the game the other night, there was, I can't remember who it was, but there was couple of really clear instances where players were getting I guess it was to do with the performance and the way they were playing and the fact that they were struggling, but you could tell and you could hear players were getting frustrated I know Bulger obviously got booked for dissent, and I think that was just a few signs there that, you know, like I said before, this was built up as a big game, as sort of the opportunity for them to really kickstart the season and get out of the relegation zone. And the fact that it wasn't going their way and they were struggling so badly, just a few cracks might have been appearing. I might be reading too much into it, but it was just such a forgettable night that, it was always going to be the final straw for Keith. But generally, I think the players liked him and they respected him a lot.
Yeah, I always got that impression. Like I said, I don't like that phrase of losing the dressing room, because I don't think managers really do lose the dressing room. I think it's more that, you know, their ideas just maybe run a bit dry, maybe because it's always the same. I mean, you know, we've all worked in those monotonous jobs before where it feels like you're just going in, it's Groundhog Day every day. You know, at some point, people run out of ideas. And at that point, maybe it's just time to either, you know, look for outside help to change it up, or to actually, you know, make a full on change and leave. That sometimes is just the way it is. I mean, it's interesting you say about how Curl has come out over the past couple of years and you know, has had a pop at his team, his players in public. I still don't think that he's ever done it quite as pinpoint, if you like, as he did after that defeat on Tuesday. I mean, I don't remember a single player getting quite the treatment that Kean Bolger got. And I think that for me was kind of like, the Dean Austin moment.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right there. And I think perhaps he knew, he didn't know, but Kelvin mentioned it. We spoke to Kelvin Thomas on Thursday, and he said that it's not like he suddenly rings up Keith and tells him, you know, he's relieving him of his duties. He knows. Him, Keith and Kelvin have been talking about it, and Keith knew he was under pressure and he needed wins and he needed results. So he would have known after that Wigan game that he was in serious trouble. And perhaps that explains why he was so sort of openly critical of his players and of his captain as well, which is extremely rare. And that was the one thing with Keith. You know, I know I said that he came out and criticised his players, but he very rarely picked out individuals. It was always sort of a team thing. You know, there's not. I remember after the Oxford United game when they were beating 4-0. It was. I've never seen him like that. He came out. It was a night where he was in the dressing room for an hour and a half. And we were waiting out there, and I thought he was never going to come out. And he just looked so shocked and sort of dismayed by what had happened. But even then, you know, he didn't pick out any individuals. He was just saying, you know, the character wasn't there, the fight wasn't there, all that sort of stuff. Whereas, as you say, on Tuesday against Wigan, it was a little bit more pointed and obviously picked out one player in particular, which is, again, quite rare, especially being at the captain. So, yeah, I think perhaps he knew then, or perhaps he feared the worst then. And he, you know, he's just venting his frustration and yeah, he couldn't hold it back.
Yeah, I was just thinking back to when we were talking about the January transfer window. In my head, I was thinking to myself, it's the Football Manager's got a lot to answer for, you know, where people sort of play that game and they go and buy signings within a second. So as soon as the window, they don't do it. I mean, I don't. I don't spend the season when we're playing the games thinking about, all right, who else do I want in? You know, like real life actually works.
Exactly,
but then also then when it comes to the point where, you know, you've said that, you know, Keith will have known he was under pressure. Kelvin will have spoken to him and said that. It's that dreaded vote of confidence. It doesn't happen, you know, in public, so to speak, anymore. But it still happens, you know, behind closed doors. I mean, you probably speak to your boss on a monthly basis. You can tell I've not been employed for a while, can't you? And I'm my own boss. I give my own appraisals whenever I want to. Usually by going, you've done well, I'll have a beer. But, you know, that kind of thing will obviously take place. You know, I mean, it's not the same as any other job, but there's certainly elements of it that will be. And that will probably be one of them. I mean, it might not be right, let's put this meeting in the diary, Keith. We're going to now do your appraisal.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
It's going to be the same kind of thing, isn't it? So, I mean, realistically, you are right that he will have known, and he'll have probably known for quite some time. He probably knew at the start of January that if this doesn't go well, then we will be looking at having to make a change. And my personal opinion is especially when you look at what has come out over the last couple of days that you've written and Jeremy's written in the Cron about how Keith and Colin have both acted afterwards. You know, the fact that they sent a text message to Kelvin to say, thanks very much for the time that we've had here and we've enjoyed it. That just shows the kind of, you know, the measure of the man, first of all, for me, having met him a few times. He's always come across as being a really nice guy. And then second of all, it also shows to me that he knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And there it wasn't a sudden like, you know, and he didn't sort of go, well, fuck you then. See you later.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think you're right there. I think, and Keith knows himself. He's been in the game an awful long time. You know, he's played at the very highest level. He would have known that even without Kelvin saying anything that he needed results, and he would have been close to the trap door, if you like, going into January. But you're right. He is a nice guy. He's handled himself very well throughout his time at the club. And I think that's important. I had a few comments on Twitter and social media saying, oh, no one cares about that. It's all about results on the pitch and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it does matter. It means a lot. And I think Keith, you know, he was always happy to give up his time. He during the first lockdown, he would ring people every day and give 20, 30 minutes on the phone and chat to vulnerable people in the local community. And away from the pitch, he was just always very nice, very happy to talk. In terms of us dealing with the media, he was great. He never shirked a question. I mean, he could have been, at times he gave a politician's answer. And he can be very evasive when he wanted to be, but that's just a standard practice. That's any manager does that. But he never, unlike other managers, and I won't name names, he never got snarky or sort of, that's what I think rubs people up the wrong way, is when you ask a question, even if you don't like the question, and you get quite snarky or annoyed, or you give quite a sarcastic answer, you know, that plenty of managers have done that before. It's quite, you know, it's quite understandable in the heat of the moment, but he never did that. He always kept his cool. He might have given you an answer that you didn't like, or didn't really give you much to go on, or give you a good headline.
Didn't actually give you an answer. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I remember the very first thing he said to us on the night of his first game, the Bury game. I think it was 0-0, wasn't it? Nicky Adams played for Bury. He called us into his office, or the local media, me, Jeremy, Jake and Tim from BBC Radio Northampton, and he sat us down in his office, and this was like not long before kickoff, and he just said, you know, always ask me anything you want, never hold back, never be worried to ask a tough question or to be honest or write, you know, always write what you think, sort of thing, which we really appreciated at the time, because you know, a lot of other managers aren't like that. They, you know, they can get quite narky. I've had managers and players in the past who have pulled me up on things and who have said, you know, I've had one player before who refused to give me an interview because he said I'm too negative in what I write. So he's no longer at the club, that player. So I'm not going to give his name. But yeah, so being in this job, it's difficult to please both sides, because you get people on Twitter saying, you know, you're cozying up to the club, you're too positive, blah, blah, blah. And then you get people on the other side saying, why are you writing this? Why are you writing that? But under Keith, it was never like that. He was always just straight up, honest, answered every question the best way he could. And yeah, just always a nice guy, always a smile on his face. He was always positive. I think that was one thing that struck me, is how positive he is. Even after a bad defeat, maybe apart from the occasional defeat, but that's understandable. He'd always have a smile on his face. He'd always crack a joke. And again, I think that, in that, you could see why he was such a good man manager, because he tries to keep people's spirits up, and he, you know, stays positive, stays upbeat. And I think his players responded to that. But yeah, I mean, just in general, he was a very good guy. It is never nice when a manager gets sacked, and it is, especially when one who's been there for 2.5 years.
But that's it, isn't it? It's been, yeah. I mean, in recent years, he's the longest serving manager of the decade. you know, it's a really weird sort of thing to go for so long in the Sixers hot seat, so to speak. But I mean, you are right. I mean, I remember when we did the fans forum at the start of the year, and I mean, you'll know because you've heard it, and Danny asked that question on behalf of somebody that had sent it in. It wasn't our question, about playing style.
Yeah.
And the daggers that were thrown. I mean, you know, but he knew full well that it was being recorded, and he also knew full well that we were only going to be using the audio. So you could kind of, it was funny. You see Danny literally kind of just sink a little bit in his seat. But I think all of us did it. You know,
With Keith especially.
But he still came out and gave an answer. Like you say, there was nothing snarky about it. I mean, in fairness, I think the answer he gave was, has the playing style changed from last season? And I mean, you at the time, it was like, how do we answer that? And it was like, probably not. I don't know. You tell me. You're the manager. But I mean, you know, you are right. He never did that thing. He could have done plenty of time. And in fairness, that fans forum was probably the hardest point for him, because the questions that were being asked were, I mean, it could have been worse. We could have done the forum 2 weeks earlier after those two 4-0 defeats. I mean, I'm not saying that there was an original date that was before then, because there wasn't. I'm joking. There really wasn't. That was the only date that we did it. But he could have been so much more snappy, if you like, and could have shown his annoyance a little bit more. I mean, they were all clearly annoyed about the playing style question, but you know, we were able to hide behind the fact that it's not our question. And such a person said it. You know, but so you are right in that respect. While we're on that playing style thing, obviously we've now got currently John Brady in as interim manager, I think is his title, and he's being backed up by Rico, Mark Richards, and then Samo is there to sort of give advice, or however it might work. It doesn't sound like Kelvin was even too sure of exactly how it would work between the three of them. Not that that's a problem. I made that sound like that was a really negative thing, and it's not. But the one thing that I've got is that, now look, I've not met John, I don't think, before. But he's saying all the right things in terms of what the fans want to hear. He's talking about going out on the front foot, giving the players freedom. He'll put, I think I saw literally just before we started recording, he said, we'll put round pegs into round holes and we'll let them play with freedom. I think that was the quote that was on the tweet that the Cron had put out.
Yeah.
The thing for me is I just think to myself, is he really going to be able to change what has been the style of football in one game, or essentially what has he had 2 days on the training pitch with them?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I don't think we should be going into the game on Saturday expecting, or any of the upcoming games, expecting a drastic change or suddenly them to be all guns blazing and creating chances, scoring goals. I think it's difficult to have an immediate impact, especially given all the games and how busy it is and how hectic the schedule is at the moment. But I just think just being a different voice, and I know he's not coming from the outside because he was obviously youth coach, but he is still fresh to that first team environment. And obviously, as you say, with Samo and Mark Richards being there as well, I just think that'll give everyone a bit of a lift, and maybe that'll take the handbrake off a little bit. And that's what it felt like they were playing with at times, especially in that Wigan game. It just felt like everything had gone so stale and they were so rigid and there was no license to express themselves. Mm-hmm. And they almost seemed too scared to sort of come out of their shells and really have a go. So maybe this will just sort of relax them a bit and they'll go out and they'll at least give it a good go. I think that's just all what fans want to see tomorrow. I think that's what fans want to see going forward. It's just a team that plays a little bit with the handbrake off, has a go, and if they go down playing like that, then so be it. But I touched on it in something I wrote, but you can get away with playing Keith's way if you win in games and if you're being successful, as he was last season and as he was at times earlier in this season, you know, when they were sort of mid-table, lower mid-table. But, you know, when you have got one win in 10 and you're playing that way, it's just... It's never going to end well, and fans turn very quickly. So, yeah, I think I like to think that John will come in and he'll just be a breath of fresh air. And he is very highly thought of, John, as a coach within the club, and people I've spoken to, you know, really talk highly of him. it's obviously a very different role, coach and manager. That's two very different things. And there's been a lot of good coaches in the past who haven't made it as a manager. And Dean Austin is a good example of that. You know, he sort of was a very good coach, but it didn't quite work out for him as a manager. So it'd be interesting to see how it goes. I'm not sure John wants it on a full-time basis. He didn't rule it out when we asked, but he's always said in previous interviews that he likes coaching rather than managing. And he really enjoys his work with the under-18s and working with young players. So I think he'd be keen to go back to that. But obviously, if he is successful and wins, you know, a few games and gets a few good results and performances improve, then I'd be surprised if he didn't get it until the end of the season and sort of a bit like with Dean Austin, but obviously a longer period of time. Because when Austin came in after Hasselbank, there was a massive uplift in performances and just in the general feeling of the place, it just almost transformed. I remember that Plymouth game and the Bury game where it played almost a different team they were. So if you get a similar sort of impact, and like I said, with all the games coming up, there's no time for rest. It's just Saturday, Tuesday. So if he starts well and gets some momentum, then, you know, I can't see why they wouldn't carry on until the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that thing, isn't it, where you often wonder, well, how is it going to be that much different because of the fact that it's people that are still, you know, that were at the club and they're therefore still at the club. But then Dean Austin is kind of the most recent example of that, you know, definitely working. Okay, we didn't stay up on that occasion, but I do think that he was left with a bit too much to do with not enough games left to do it in.
Yeah,
but, you know, that's by the by 3 years later. I mean, the thing for me, like you're saying, is that you're right. I would like to just see a little bit more freedom, you know, and just go out and play football. You said, it does feel like they were stifled a little bit. I don't know how much you actually got to hear of what Luke Graham was saying on the co-commentary on Tuesday night. But for me, it was almost like suddenly just going, yeah, that's spot on. That is exactly what it is. Like, he was talking about how essentially we were just hitting it long straight away. And there was no, whereas Luke was saying that we should be looking to sort of move Wigan about and then go long so that you're trying to catch them off guard or you're trying to wear them down and then go, you know, for the kill, so to speak. I mean, I'm trying to remember who it was that said it. May even have been either Keith or maybe it was one of the players that I've spoken to in the past. But, you know, they talked about having to know when to actually go for it. So you have to sort of, you can't just go for it on every single occasion. You have to pick and choose your moment, so to speak. And that, I didn't see any of that for us against Wigan, which was the real shame. And I think actually, in a way, the Wigan performance was just essentially the end of the, I was going to say the end of the rope. That sounds very, very...
it was a culmination, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It that felt like the end of it, though.
Yeah.
It felt like it can't go any further than this.
Yeah, and I think you're right. And it was just quite alarming watching that performance and just how disjointed they were. And, you know, we've seen them play direct, obviously, quite a lot before, and that wasn't new or surprising. It was just... no one seemed on the same page. There were so many times in that first half against Wigan where I remember saying it to someone in the press box that there's a massive gap between the midfield and the front two. All half, pretty much. There was a big gap between Williams, Hoskins and Sowerby started and Edmondson and Rose. And I know Edmondson and Rose got a bit of stick, especially Edmondson, but they had no chance because they were just getting no service. They had no support. They were just chasing lost causes, and you felt for them a little bit, especially Rose, because, you know, he's a goal scorer. He belongs in the box, you know, poaching goals and feeding off crosses and stuff. But he just had none of that on Tuesday, and he's had very little of it all season. And I think it was also surprising that Kel never really changed the system. Or I know he made the two subs at half time, but they were like for like. There was no sort of just get an extra body in midfield sort of thing, get a bit of control in midfield. And I think that was another criticism, wasn't it? Quite a common criticism of Curl was his in-game management and his substitutions. He never really positively impacted a game from the bench. Or a bit harsh to say never did that, but he didn't do it very often. And I do think that is a fair point. You know, that game Tuesday against Wigan was crying out for an extra midfielder. So they were just getting outnumbered, overrun in the middle. And again, that was another concern. And Kelvin and the board would have seen that. And you know, another contributing factor to the decision that they made.
I do think you're right. I think a lot of the time, decisions that were made in game were baffling to fans. I say this all the time. I can't play football for Toffee. Never could. So who am I to sort of argue with somebody that played international level? Mm. But when you are a football fan, there is still an element of you understand how the game works and what you're watching. So when, as an example, the most baffling thing, and I know it was a thing that wound me up to start off with, but I know it wound Danny up even more so, was taking Mills off to then bring on, I can't remember who it was that he brought on, but essentially Sam Hoskins then went to left wing back.
Corbeau, was like, that?
Yeah, maybe. And I just remember thinking, well, why have you done that when you've got a left wing? Yeah. Take Hoskins off. Mm. Because I'm not having a go at Sam here at all for that game, because he could have taken absolutely any one of those players off and no one would have had any complaints. Mm. But just take Hoskins off. Leave your natural left wing back that knows how to play that position in that position and don't put the square peg in the round hole.
Yeah.
And it was that kind of thing that always used to really wind me up, and I know it was winding a lot of other fans up as well, and it would be a big criticism. And not, you know, I'm not having a pop at you guys or anybody else that's you know, the media, but it didn't feel like that question was ever really put to him, or at the very least it was never answered in anywhere near a satisfactory manner.
Do you mean on Tuesday the Mills?
Yeah, well, just generally, right, in terms of like, well, why didn't... it's hard, isn't it? I appreciate it. You can't just, especially with Keith, you turn around and say, why didn't you pick this guy or why didn't you do this? Mm. You know that the answer you're going to get is going to be long-winded, probably involve Pablo, and, you know, it's never going to end up being an answer to your question.
That's the thing. We sometimes get a bit of stick, me and Jake and Tim, for not asking certain questions or not putting enough pressure on Keith. But the truth is, 95% of the time we do ask the questions. It's just we don't get the answers that we want or the fans want. And sometimes it won't be published because there's just nothing to say. And other times there'll just be quite wishy-washy answers that don't really get to the point. And I think there's a good example of that was the Blackpool game recently, the 2-0 defeat. And McWilliams obviously didn't start. That was a big talking point. And I think there was a bit of talk about the formation as well. And people were saying, oh, why don't you ask him about why he's not playing 4-3-3 and why McWilliams has been dropped and this? And we do ask him, and we have asked him. But I could predict his answer. You know, he for example, the McWilliams one was odd. And his answer to that was a bit strange. Didn't quite understand why he dropped McWilliams for that game, but we did ask him and he gave an answer. And on the formation, he would just say that's how he sees it. The personnel he's got available, with Mikael Miller out, who's probably their only, well, Mark Marshall as well, is their only genuine wingers in the squad. He feels he can't play 4-3-3 because he hasn't got the balance for that. And he feels with the three centre-backs, that gives them a better platform and that gave them more physicality. That's what he will say, and that's what he did say. So, you know, a lot of the time these questions are asked. And like I said before, Keith was always happy to answer any question. He never said, you know, don't ask me a question about this or that. He will always answer. So,
yeah,
it's just that a lot of the time he gave a classic manager's answer where he wouldn't really answer the question. He would just go off on a tangent and leave you nowhere to go. And you know, and you can come up back with a follow-up, but he'll just do the same again. So Yeah, I get, don't get me wrong, I completely understand why fans get frustrated, and because obviously as the local media, as journalists, can't react in the same way as fans do when sometimes we want to, you know, when, yeah, especially on Tuesday night against Wigan, I was getting so frustrated watching them play. And it was so cold that night as well. I just wanted to go home.
That's it. The fact that as soon as the game finished, you know, Tim's handing back over to Jake in the Radio Northampton studio. the first thing that Jake says is that was rubbish, and he proper laid into it. And that's the first. You know, look, that was when you kind of, we already knew, but that was when you sort of went, no, this is serious now.
Yeah.
Because the, not so much the media have turned against him, but it was just a case of going, there's no way to sugarcoat that. You literally cannot polish what has just happened.
Yeah.
So the only place you've got to go is to tell the truth.
Yeah. And that's the thing as well. I think you've always got to balance things and look at things objectively. And I think previously there were mitigating factors in a lot of, for a lot of the performances and some of the defeats early in the season. I think, you know, you go back to sort of the autumn, for example, the Fleetwood game when they won 1-0 with about 20% possession. Mm. And there's a lot of stick. I got into a few discussions on Twitter, shall we say, about the style of play and that. And I was just trying to make the point that, you know, he felt he needed to be pragmatic with the players he had at that particular time. And I could understand that, and I could see what he was trying to do. And that's not to say fans shouldn't be annoyed at the style of play or shouldn't think they should have a go. It's just putting a point across as to why he's doing it and why he felt the need to play that way. However, things change, and when you get your, when you come out and say, I've got all my first choice targets in January, I've got the squad I want, then there's no excuses, and you're playing at home to a team who are in worse form than you, who are below you in the table, who have a pretty dreadful defensive record, who've got key players missing, and you put in a performance like that and you lose the game, go to second bottom in the league, and there is nowhere to hide, and there are no mitigating factors, there are no excuses. I think that's why we got the reaction we did on Tuesday, because that just felt like a tipping point, that felt a watershed moment. And fans will say, and I got it on Tuesday, that fans will say, you know, the watershed moment was back after the Crewe game or after the Oxford game, and it's like, fine, if that, you know, I can understand why that you feel like that, but I just felt back then there were at least reasons for what was happening. For example, the Oxford game, they had all those injuries, and we were just coming up to the January transfer window. And I felt personally, and I think Kelvin and others felt the same way, that he had earned the opportunity to go into January, buy his players, and then have a crack. But then when that doesn't work out, then again, it leaves you nowhere to hide. So it's just, you know, we all have different ways of seeing it. And I think individual fans have different preferences. And, you know, some fans put result over everything. They just want to win games. Other fans want to see their team have a go and play a certain way. And that's fine. There's no right or wrong way. You know, it's totally individual preference. I think Tuesday was just, like I say, it was just, there's nowhere to hide, and he was always going to be under an awful lot of pressure had he not been sacked.
Well, let's finish on a positive. So with John, Mark and Samo at the helm, so to speak. I mean, the one thing that I am going to be real, I find it, this is the sort of worst bit for me, or the saddest bit for me, is that whether or not he's going to be actually in the dugout or not, but Samo back in the dugout at Six Fields and no fans are there to see.
Yeah.
I did that upsets me so much, but it's like what happened with Dean Austin taking over from Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink. This feels like a feel good, sort of shift, if you like, and bringing those three in. I mean, if you think about it, Rico's only been back at the club in a youth, you know, working with the youth for what, maybe a year?
Yes.
You know, Samo's even only been here just over a year. And I mean, after that, he was on furlough. So, I mean, you know, it's almost like you're sort of going, right, legends, here we go. Who else can we bring in? Right, I tell you what, Bukes will be on the phone. I mean, Weber's already tried on the Cobblers show this week. Who else is there? John Joe's coming back on Saturday anyway with Burton Albion.
Jimmy?
Yeah, don't get that band back together. That's too far.
Maybe not.
But yeah, I do think it's going to be a positive. And regardless of what the result is, I think the result is still all important against Burton because of, obviously, it is, as Danny would say, a six-pointer. But we've got to look at it for the rest of the season because there's, what, 19 games left?
19 or 20, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's still a long way to go, isn't there? There's a long way and a long chance, if you like, for this to be turned around, by whether it is by the Brady Brunt or whether it's by somebody else.
Yeah, and I think that's why I feel, and I think many people feel, that the timing was right with parting company with Curl, because he's been given a fair crack at it, and now we've still got enough time left in the season to sort of salvage the situation and have a proper good go. And let's not forget, they're level on point. They're only in the relegation zone on goal difference. And a lot of teams down there are also in equally poor form. You know, Swindon, Rochdale, Wigan, Wimbledon, they're all struggling. So it doesn't take much at all. You know, they beat Burton and, you know, pick up a couple of results, and all of a sudden, you know, you put a bit of breathing space between yourselves and the bottom four, and everything changes and the whole mood changes. So yeah, there's plenty of time to save the season. But I think you're right. I think as important as the result is, I think people just want to see something a bit different and you know, a better performance and then have a little bit of a go. And that will give people hope for the rest of the season. And, you know, it'll be, I think I've touched on it previously, that they I believe they do have the players. They have enough quality there to stay in this division. And when you look at the teams that are down there, you look at their squads and you wouldn't say many of them are better off than Northampton. So, yeah, I think they've got a fair chance. It's just, you know, obviously the first few games under John Brady and his coaches and Samo and Mark Richards are going to be important to build that momentum and to get off to a good start and get confidence up again. But, you know, they're straight into the deep end. I think there's Saturday, Tuesday for the next 4 weeks. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's as sad as it is to see a manager go, it's always a little bit exciting to see someone else come in and see how they're going to go about it and how they'll put their stamp on it. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing how they go under John Brady.
Lovely stuff. Thanks very much, James. It's been a pleasure having you on. Hopefully, well, I was going to say, hopefully it won't be 2.5 years before we have it on again. But having said that, I don't particularly want a managerial merry-go-round for the next 6 months.
No, that's
so,
true.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you on again, James. Thanks
You're
very
welcome.
Much.
No problem.
And thank you very much for listening as well. It's been a pleasure. If you love what you're hearing from us, we've done loads this week. Go back, watch the live stream back on Facebook or YouTube. Just search It's All Cobblers to Me on either of those two platforms and you'll find it. It's a podcast form as well in your feed. Normal podcast on Tuesday was really good as well. Now you've had this. If you'd like to support us and say thanks in any way, shape or form, then we will take that gladly in the shape of either a review on Apple Podcasts. They're always nice. Please do that. Or you can support us financially on Patreon. There's loads of stuff going on there at the moment. You can join our Slack channel or you can listen to a bonus episode of the pod every single month. This month's is with Matt and Will from Cobblers Vlogs. It's really interesting. Go and check that out. Patreon.com/cobblers to me. We will be back on Tuesday. I'll be back with everybody because we'll all be wanting to talk about John Brady's first game in charge as Northampton Town manager. And I tell you what, we can't wait. So we'll see you then. Thanks very much for listening. Goodbye.
Way, there's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.